Order. And if I could have the young students come forward and lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance, we would very much appreciate that. Stand right here, ladies and gentlemen. And here's the flag right here. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you very much, you guys. All right, roll call, please.
Ms. Becker?
Here.
Ms. Crane?
Here.
Mr. Jones?
Yes, here.
Mr. Keel?
Here.
Mr. Nankervis?
Here.
Mr. Smith?
Here.
Ms. Stroll?
Here.
Mr. Wanamaker?
Present.
Mayor Sanford?
Here.
You have a quorum.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Special order of business tonight is the young students that just led us in the pledge. And if all the assembly members would look, I had them hang some of their work up on the front of our, just like on the refrigerator at home when you're grading kids and kids came home and did it. So make sure you take a minute and look at those things. It's pretty neat to see their works of art. And so, Madam Manager?
Yes, actually, I'd like to call Amelia up. She's got a short presentation.
Right up here to the mic.
So every fall for the past 32 years, three bookmark designs are chosen by the Juneau libraries. The winners get printed up and distributed in libraries year-round, and the honorable mentions get prizes. Hearthside Books donates gift certificates. The Friends of the Library donates gift certificate and pays for all of the printing, supports that. This year we had over 1,300 entries.
Wow. Goodness.
And these were the top. And three of our artists are here tonight. It got started in 1982 with two goals. One was to be fun for kids, and the other was as a grassroots campaign to build libraries. And at that time, I have to cheat, Nancy Gustafson was the director, and Carol McCabe was assistant director. And the youth services folks that started it were Donna Pierce, Sandra Strotman, and Kay Snowhook. And Carol McCabe was talking about the new Valley Library being built. And she says, "It will fulfill the dream, meet the goal set in 1979 for three new, well-designed library facilities working as a full-service system for Juneau." And the bookmark contest has been along for the ride the whole time. So thank you very much.
You want to bring the kids up?
And the kids yes. should come up and have a moment in the spotlight.
And in fact, we want you to do just like the adults do and shake our hands. So
tell us who you are.
Stand up, assembly members. You guys want to say anything first?
Thank you.
You're welcome. Come on by and shake our hands. Come on. Thank you very much. We're really pleased to have you here. Go right down the line. Here we go. Hey. Go right down the line. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Thank you. We're so glad you're here. Oh,
which one's yours?
Great job. Thank you.
Congratulations.
Which one? The one that says Reed in the middle?
And which one's yours?
Yeah. Nice job.
Congratulations. Thank you.
The which one?
Another young man.
Oh, hi. Good. Hi. Congratulations. Good job.
Thank you. Thank you.
Good job.
Thank you for coming tonight.
Good job.
Which one? Your
hands are ice cold.
Which one's yours?
Chili.
Thank you.
Oh, all right. Nice job. Thank you.
Thank you.
Found it.
Great.
Boom. There you go.
All right. Good job, you guys. Gals.
Now that's the hard part.
Did you find yours?
I think you did.
Okay. Oh, my goodness. Okay, approval of minutes. Thank you, everybody, for coming tonight. So, Approval of minutes, October 28, 2013, special assembly meeting 2013-27. Is there any corrections? Seeing none, is there any objections to their approval? Seeing none, so ordered. Assembly retreat minutes, October 30th, 2013. Are there any corrections or add-ons? Seeing none, is there any objections to their approval? So ordered. The November 4th, 2013 regular assembly meeting 2013-28. Are there any corrections? Seeing none, objections to their approval? Seeing none, so ordered. Manager's request for agenda changes.
Yes, I'd like to add the O'Brien versus CBJ assessor's appeal review of the draft decision under executive session at the end of the meeting tonight.
Thank you, Madam Manager. And we'll move into public participation on non-agenda items. We have one person signed up, Ms. Lorraine Murray. Good evening. Name and where you live, please.
My name's Lorraine Murray, and I live in Juneau in the Valley. And I'm here to talk about fireworks. Can you hear me?
You can pull it down a little bit.
You can pull the mic down.
Okay. I'd like to just sort of start over here because I realize I'll probably be cut off because it's so long. Unless, do I have enough time to read?
You've got 5 minutes.
Quickly? Okay. I might skip around a bit. Okay, Juneau and fireworks. According to our traditions, laws, and policies, fireworks do not belong in our residential areas. Since as far back as I can remember, fireworks have been illegal in Juneau except for the public fireworks display downtown during the 4th of July. Our No Disturbing the Peace law has been used to enforce this ban on private firework displays. To date, there's been no appropriate legal process to change this. If CBJ wants to change our law regarding the use of fireworks, then CBJ should use our legislative process to make the change and create a firework ordinance that the public can give input and be part of this lawmaking process. Fireworks are a big deal, and they have a huge impact on people's lives. They are explosive devices. The range of noise from fireworks is 130 dB to 190. Our zoning law prohibits blasting in residential districts D1 through D5. Residential areas per our zoning law, quote, are established to provide a healthy, safe, and pleasant environment for residential living, protected from incompatible and disruptive activities. Our noise policy in the comprehensive plan, quote, it is the policy of CBJ to minimize the exposure of residents to the harmful effects of excessive or obtrusive noise, and to control the level of noise pollution in a manner that will be compatible with commerce and public safety. CBJ needs to step back and slow down and proceed with due care and realize that many communities across the country and here in Alaska are now trying to walk back on having legalized the private use of fireworks because of the problems fireworks are causing. Anchorage is trying to walk back on fireworks now, so it makes no sense whatsoever for CBJ to give a green light on the use of fireworks in our residential areas when people are already having problems with the fireworks. This is a Pandora's box for Juneau. CBJ has not done a proper evaluation on fireworks in residential areas. Yes, there was a COW meeting on fireworks last November, but when I look at the notes from that meeting, the focus was on the number of complaints, the number of fires and injuries. There was a lot missing from that evaluation. There was no data on the effects the loud explosive fireworks were having on the people being impacted by fireworks near their homes. There was no discussion or data regarding the effects the loud blasting noise has on our health, on children, pets, on wildlife, or the environment. All that was missing. And the public deserves a comprehensive evaluation, an explanation, and a firework ordinance before a green light is given on the use of fireworks in Juneau. Most communities in Alaska have taken the time to develop a fireworks ordinance that meets the needs of their community, and so should we. Fireworks are a hazardous product. CBJ has a responsibility to develop clear, robust policy on the use of fireworks because the public has a right to know when, where, and for how long fireworks will be used so they can avoid the use of fireworks if they so choose. CBJ should not be making this decision for the public. Fireworks should not be forced on people. Many people do not like fireworks. Many people do like fireworks, but this does not mean they like them used next to their homes. And not everyone likes fireworks. And regardless of the reason, people have a fundamental right to choose to avoid being exposed to fireworks because they are a hazardous product. There are all kinds of reasons why some people need to avoid fireworks. It could be the noise level. It could be an illness. It could be multiple chemical sensitivity disorder, asthma, maybe a pacemaker, cardiovascular disease, stress, trauma, PTSD, high blood pressure. Maybe fireworks frighten their children or their pets. The point is that the one place we should all be able to retreat to is our homes. The one place we should be free from fear and abuse is our homes and our property. We have to preserve the character of our residential areas. This is fundamental to our well-being today and for all the people that come after us tomorrow. People can go and set off fireworks in designated areas, but people can't move their homes or their neighborhoods. I do not believe CBJ should be trying to regulate the use of fireworks via the noise ordinance. I think I can understand using the reasonable person standard for some situations that have to do with commerce, but fireworks are not a commerce issue.
Okay. Anything to wrap up, Ms. Murray?
I've got a couple pages. I'll just go ahead and end. I did make copies for everybody. So I'll just...
Thank you very much, Ms. Murray, and we'll see if we have any questions. Do we have any questions? Ms. Stroll.
Yeah, thank you, Mayor Sanford. The disturbance of the peace ordinance, in trying to get some clarification on that, I was informed that that would not legitimize fireworks in residential areas. And are you reading it in a completely different way, that we're opening the door to fireworks in residential areas?
Yes, fireworks. When you call to complain about fireworks in near your home, you're told that they are legal now by JPD. And I can get into the what happened with that. But people are now being told in residential areas that JPD...
I'm asking about the draft disturbing the peace ordinance, the draft ordinance that... the Planning Commission looked over and that we're considering, and I'm wondering if that is a vehicle to address your concern.
The problem I see with using a reasonable person standard is that that person probably would be a city employee. I think that the outcome of their evaluation would be biased. And basically they would be asking, or they would be looking at it, is it reasonable to, as it was stated on a news release, the question would be, are fireworks reasonable on the 4th of July? Well, they're reasonable on the 4th of July, but the question is, are they reasonable next to people's homes when they're 130, 190 decibels? And I feel that most reasonable people would say no, they're not reasonable next to people's homes because people are having problems with them. They're too disruptive. So I don't think that the way the noise ordinance is, I don't trust that it will effectively deal with the problem of fireworks in residential areas, because the problem is fireworks are being used in residential areas. I think that, as written, as I've seen it written, I don't think it would be effective at all.
Thank you, Ms. Murray. Is there any other questions?
I don't know if I answered your
Yes, you did. Thank
oh, okay.
All right. Thank you
okay.
very much, Ms.
Thank
Murray.
You very much.
Appreciate your testimony.
Right. Thank you very much.
And that was the last person who wanted to speak from the public. Is there... anybody else that didn't sign up that wants to speak? And what on?
The fireworks.
Come on up. I'll give you 3 minutes.
Well, okay. My name is Francie Schrupp. I live at 355 North Douglas. And I understand that there's some pending legislation that would allow fireworks in our community.
No.
No. Good, because I'm against it.
Good.
Yeah, the kids are bad enough with it being illegal. You know, they're always. I live on really close to North Douglas Highway, and I used to have a picnic table up by the highway. And I had to move the picnic table because the kids would sit there on the 4th of July and shoot Roman candles at the cars as they went by. And kids are always doing things like that. So I hope we don't legalize fireworks in our community. Thanks.
Thank you, ma'am. But staff, do we have an off-the-cuff clarification on fireworks here tonight for us or not? Or do you want to wait till next meeting to give us that?
I can wait to give you a further explanation. Title 19 does envision and allow some fireworks to be used in the CBJ. That's not new. That has always been in place. There was the ordinance in 2011 that would prohibit the sale that did not pass. The ordinance on the noise is just that it regulates the level of noise upon a reasonable person standard, but it does not prohibit the use or change what is already in effect in the CBJ.
Thank you. Any other comments or questions? Thank you very much. We'll move forward to the consent agenda. And the consent agenda, I'm asking if the public, is there anybody in the public who requests an item to be pulled from the consent agenda? Seeing no input from the public on that, we'll move to assembly requests for consent agenda changes. Are there any changes from the assembly? Seeing none, assembly action on the consent agenda. Mr. Nankervis.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move for approval of the consent agenda, and I would ask for unanimous consent.
Are there any objections to that? So ordered. Thank you, Mr. Nankervis. We'll move forward to the public hearing. And Madam Clerk, could you please read the first title?
Ordinance 2013-28, an ordinance relating to snow removal, parking prohibitions, civil fines, and civil fine procedure, and providing for a penalty.
Administrative report, please, Madam Manager.
Yes, this housekeeping ordinance will replace the criminal infraction process in place for handling violations of the snow removal or parking prohibition ordinance and the ordinance prohibiting the placement of snow and ice in public ways by making violations of those code sections civil violations. The penalty amounts remain unchanged. I recommend adoption of this ordinance.
Thank you, Madam Manager, and I will open it up for a public comment. Does anybody from the public wish to comment on Ordinance 2013-28? Seeing none, public comment is closed. We'll move on to assembly action. Ms. Becker?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move that we adopt Ordinance 2013-28 and ask for unanimous consent.
Thank you. Ms. Troll, comments?
I would like to have a discussion about a couple of points that were brought forth by a member of the public. Thought they were pretty good ideas, making sure that the law allows for citations, whether or not the vehicle is removed, provide that the fine is a maximum, can be reduced at the discretion of the hearing officer. When I was reading the ordinance, it didn't sound like that was an option. Also, the third suggestion was allowing for towing and storage fees for removed cars to be assessed as separate matters distinct from the fines.
Thank you, Ms. Troll. And Madam Manager, you want to start off?
Actually, I'll turn it over to the city attorney. Thank you.
I'll start with the last one first. We already have an ordinance in place that allows for towing and storage impoundment fees that are in addition to the citation. That's at 7222060. So we would not need to add that.
So it is a separate matter then?
That is a separate matter, yes. The suggestion that the fine be a maximum and can be reduced at the discretion of the hearing officer, that is technically possible. but I think it would require more than just adding that provision to this particular ordinance. The way our civil fine citations are set up right now is there is a penalty imposed for a violation, and that is the penalty imposed. And unless we set some limits or give some a boundary or some guidance as to what the amount of discretion the hearing officer has, you could end up with a very arbitrary imposition of fines according to whatever hearing officer is hearing the matter at the moment. The way other jurisdictions do it, some jurisdictions set a minimum amount and then give the hearing officer discretion in extraordinary circumstances to reduce it in certain ways. Some say the hearing officer, for extenuating circumstances, can reduce up to 50%, but not below a certain minimum. So those are things that we can look at, but I would not suggest just adding a line in saying the hearing officer can reduce it without any boundaries on that discretion. And the last provision about the citation being applicable, whether the vehicle's there or not, I guess I wasn't quite sure what was being suggested. The way that it's set up right now with the civil fine being imposed, the officer leaves a citation on the vehicle, and just because the person moves the vehicle, I don't think that would negate the citation. So I'm not sure what was being suggested there.
Ms. Troll, do you think all your questions were answered there?
Well, I'm understanding that essentially the way the ordinance is written that it addresses the first and the third point raised by this Mr. Silverstein Sen. And then if we want to deal with the notion of it being a maximum, we might need some change to the ordinance. And at this point in time, given the low amount of the violation and the fine, I don't see the need to go forward and make a whole lot of changes for something that's really a pretty de minimis cost.
Thank you, Mr. Rowe. Mr. Jesse?
Thank you, Mr. Merrill, Mayor. Ms. Mead, in regard to the notion that there might be a question of citations being applicable, whether or not the vehicle is removed, I actually read it, I think, the opposite direction. Because it is an infraction now and would under this be a violation to park or to permit a vehicle to stand on a street, the question then would, in violation of the snow removal posting, the question would be if the vehicle is removed, can you still cite it since it's not parked or standing on the street anymore? Does that need clarification? If it ain't there and the violation is for leaving it there, can you still cite it?
That would require a neighbor or someone calling it in and then the officer citing based on someone else's statement. I'm not sure if we would want to allow that. That would basically be a neighbor being the one who presenting the evidence, or I'm not following you then.
Yeah, I mean, when I read Magistrate Sievertson's comments, although I shouldn't say that, he's writing in his private capacity, Mr. Sievertson's comments, my interpretation was that the argument may have been presented that, well, the city gave me this ticket for being parked there, but the city moved the car. The car's not parked there anymore, so the ticket's no good. You're not concerned, is what I'm seeing, as our attorney responsible for defending these. Second question on that, and follow-up to Ms. Troll's question. I'm racking my brain to think about our civil violations ordinance and the discussions we had about the hearing officer. And I thought I remembered a standard by which the hearing officer might reduce a civil violation. I thought it was an interests of justice standard. Am I remembering the term incorrectly? And are you? My understanding of your statement to Ms. Troll was that it ain't in there. Can you help me with that?
I don't know that we would have to add in the interest of justice.
It's not there now.
I don't. In Title 3?
It can be dismissed.
It can be dismissed.
Right.
Yeah. in the interest of justice, it can be dismissed. But right now, the way Title III is laid out is there is a fine. It does not state it's a minimum or a maximum or a range of fines. It is just the fine, and there's nothing that I saw in the ordinance that would allow for the hearing officer to change that fine. If that is something that the Assembly desires to do, we can do that, but we'd have to do that in the context of Title III.
I would agree that's the place to do it. I'm going to have to go back and reread it. It's not matching my memory. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Any other questions for staff? We'll move on to Ms. Troll. Do you still hold an objection?
No.
Is there any other objections? And you asked for unanimous consent. Are there any objections to that? Seeing none, ordinance 2013-28 has passed. Madam Clerk, ordinance 2013-29, please.
An ordinance establishing the Human Resources and Risk Management Department.
Admin report, Madam Manager.
The Human Resources Risk Management Division is currently within the Administration Department. This ordinance would create a Human Resources Risk Management Department similar to other CBJ departments such as Engineering, Library, and Community Development. The responsibilities of the Human Resources Division have increased over the last few years to include risk management responsibilities, and the risk management function provides services not only to CBJ general government, but also to the school district and Bartlett Regional Hospital. Most recently, Human Resources Risk Management has expanded its services to provide consolidated HR services to Bartlett Regional Hospital, which is a very big increase of responsibilities. I recommend the adoption of this ordinance.
Thank you, Madam Manager. We'll move to public comment on ordinance 2013-29. Does anyone wish to comment? Seeing none, public comment is closed. We'll move to assembly action. Ms. Crane?
I move adoption of ordinance 2013-29 and ask for unanimous consent.
Are there any objections?
Object.
Mr. Wanamaker?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'm not sure that I object at this point. I think it merits discussion. I'd like to see this referred to Committee of the Whole either Committee of the Whole or the Finance Committee for discussion. There's a number of questions that I have in terms of what is this workload, how was this developed, where does this fit in with Bartlett? There have been a number of problems at Bartlett recently, and I would like to hear from the Bartlett management and the Bartlett board about how they see themselves going forward and how this works with what they think they want to do. It's a city-owned asset, and we restructured them. We allowed them to legally restructure in late 2011. And I'm not sure that this fits in with that. I need to hear more before I can say yes. I understand that there's an increase in responsibilities, but I don't see how we have enough information to fully understand how this affects Bartlett and the need for a city HR department rather than a division. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Watermeyer. And do you want to hear that tonight? Staff has some of those answers, or I would assume all of those answers.
Well, if the Bartlett board is here and the Bartlett president is here and able to provide that information, and we have that opportunity, yes, but otherwise I'd rather have an informed discussion on it to get a big picture view. Again, we allowed them to legally restructure their management, and I don't have enough information to know what they're doing here. And is this really good for Bartlett? Is this good for the city, and if so, how?
Thank you. Ms. Crane?
I would just simply say that as the Bartlett liaison, I have sat in on the Bartlett board meetings where this was a topic of discussion, and the Bartlett board is in agreement with consolidating human resources with CBJ. And, if you still want to hear from them, that is fine. But I can say that they have discussed it in more than one board meeting, and they came to a unanimous decision.
Mr. Jones, do you have something down there?
Sort of a minor question after the last discussion, but is there any financial implication if human resources was a division and now they're a department, does the manager position of a department have a different pay scale than the manager of a division? Is there any additional staff looking forward to with the expansion out to Bartlett? And I didn't see any kind of implication budget-wise in this discussion at all. And I was just wondering if there would be as the budget gets prepared for next year.
I think the staff has already had that discussion, and Mr. Jones will let Ms. Kiefer answer your questions.
There will be a slight increase in the budget, and that budget will be accommodated by Bartlett bringing resources to the table to do the joint collaborative HR responsibilities for Bartlett and CBJ. We do have a plan to bring that Bartlett combo back to the finance committee in December, so I can provide more detailed information as far as the restructuring and where positions are going to be needed in the long term for Bartlett.
And Madam Manager, will the dollars for that will come out of Bartlett's operations?
Correct. They've already committed to providing revenue to be able to make this transition work.
Thank you. And Ms. Crane and then Ms. Becker.
Also, in the short-term discussions at Bartlett, they identified a considerable savings mm-hmm. for Bartlett with this merger.
Thank you. Ms. Becker?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I believe we need to discuss this before we vote on this ordinance. I would like it to go to finance if that's where the staff has chosen for it to go, and to talk about why we're doing it, what we're going to get out of it, what will Bartlett get out of it, how much it's going to cost us. Is it going to take additional staff, as has been already asked, and just exactly what changes will this make to our current human resource department? And will it require more space? How many more people? I think this is a pretty large step, and I certainly don't feel comfortable voting on it tonight.
All right. Can I have a motion? Mr. Wanamaker?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'm going to move in a moment that we refer this to finance. But I want to say that I think it's important that the Assembly hear from Bartlett directly, both the board and the CEO. One of the problems we've had with the understanding the full situation of Bartlett is that there has not been enough communication from them directly to the Assembly. And with the Assembly, we discussed that at the one meeting we had with them quite some time ago about the importance of keeping this body informed. One of the shortcomings of the previous CEO was that she did not engage in providing information as fully as possible. And so I think it's very important for the Assembly to hear and talk with them directly. It's one of the reasons I think this needs to be referred to finance, so that we have that opportunity and they understand that we're trying to make informed decisions. To my way of thinking, we simply don't have enough information to act tonight, even though it may appear to be a very good thing to do. So I move that we refer this to finance for discussion and recommendations to the Assembly.
And Mr. Smith or Kate, Ms. Troll, if you'll object, then we can keep discussing this motion.
So, Mr. Smith, and then
I simply wanted to add that I would like to see, assuming we do go to finance, I would like to see a discussion of the benefits in the new management scheme, specifically the benefits of this change. Thank you.
Ms. Troll?
Mr. Smith just said what I was going to say. I want to make sure that Ms. Kiefer understands there's merit to going forward to seeing how we might be able to deliver services better and for that to be articulated.
All right. Is there anything else anybody wants to get on the table for this to be discussed? Seeing none, everybody has Mr. Wanamaker's motion to move it to finance. Is there any objections? So ordered. All right, we'll move on to the next ordinance. Madam Clerk, will you please read the title?
An ordinance appropriating to the manager the sum of $145,550 as funding for the State Homeland Security Program, grant funding provided by the State of Alaska Department of Military and Veterans Affairs.
Thank you. Admin report.
These funds would be used to support the goals and activities of the Emergency Management Program through funding of planning, training, exercise, and equipment purchases. The term of this grant is October 1st, 2013 through March 31st, 2015. There is no match requirement for this grant. I recommend adoption of this ordinance.
Thank you, Madam Manager. Public comment? Open this ordinance for public comment. Seeing none, public comment is closed. Assembly action. Mr. Jesse Keene.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move adoption of Ordinance 2013-11W and ask unanimous consent.
Is there any objections?
Discussion?
Mr. Nankervis?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I don't necessarily object to the ordinance as written, but I've said this to at least one person in this room. What we need to be careful with, and we often don't think of, are the hidden costs associated with grant funding, specifically when it relates to equipment. There's just several items on this list: camera and access systems for JPD. You get grant funding to get them, then it costs to maintain them, and you don't generally get grant funding to maintain those. Pagers for CCFR and the portable radio repeaters for the first responders. All of those things. I've had experience with that before. I'll give you a brief example here. The mobile incident command at JPD. Great thing to have. The feds funded that, gave us that, but there was no money in the budget to put it anywhere or maintain it. So it was an increase in the budget, even though it came across as a free vehicle. So I just say, I think that's a good thing for staff to keep in mind, and I believe they do when they look at this stuff, that there are hidden costs associated with free things, and you just need to keep that in mind. And it, sometimes it can get to the point where you might need staff to maintain all the free things you've gotten. And just good to take note of. Don't object to it. I just think we needed to get that out there. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Nankervis. Ms. Becker?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Do we have we contacted the people that Mr. Nankervis is speaking? Fire, police, do they want this? Do they want these items?
Yes, they requested these as part of the grant process. So our emergency program manager reaches out to them when grants are available and asks them what's on their needs list to be able to go forward to replace equipment.
Thank you.
Any other comments, questions? Is there any objections to this motion to move this? Seeing none, Ordinance 2013-11W is approved. Madam Clerk, please read the title for 2013-11X.
An ordinance appropriating to the manager the sum of $58,000 as funding for law department office space to accommodate additional staff, funding provided by the general fund balance.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Admin report, please.
Two options were provided to the Assembly Finance Committee at its October 16, 2013 meeting. Option one would remodel existing office space in the Municipal Way building at an estimated cost of $52,000. This also includes estimates for custom office furniture that would make the best use of the remodeled space. Option two would allow the law department to move to the Sea Alaska building and allow human resources staff to move out of the Municipal Way building basement to space currently occupied by the law department. Option two is estimated to cost $58,000, which includes moving, IT installation, and the furniture. The Assembly Finance Committee approved pursuing option two. The Assembly Finance Committee at its November 13, 2013 meeting reviewed additional cost information. I recommend this adoption of this ordinance.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
I have a conflict of interest on this item. I'll have to excuse myself.
Okay. We'll move to public comment. Is there anybody in the public who wishes to comment on 2013-11X? Seeing none, public comment is closed, and we'll move to assembly action.
Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Wanamaker?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move assembly approval of ordinance 2013-11X.
Are there any objections? Mr. Jones objects.
Yes, I do.
Go ahead.
I'm going to pass out a proposed amendment to this ordinance. excuse me. And once it gets out, then I'll read the my amendment. Apologize for coming down with a cold. as we discussed at the Finance Committee, I felt that perhaps we should better look at this in terms of remodeling the current space instead of leasing new space, which would increase cost over the next two or three years for the office space, and discuss the possibility that I might look at amending the ordinance. And so my amendment would be to, at the end of Section 2, it reads, accommodate additional staff, period. At the end of that, I'm moving an amendment that says these funds are to be used to remodel existing space in a municipal way building at an estimated cost of $52,000. This also includes estimates for custom office furniture that would make the best use of the remodeled space. And I would move that amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Jones. Is there any objections to the amendment, Mr. Wanamaker?
I'll object to the amendment. I think that it's not the best thing to do for a variety of reasons. But there's some questions that need to be asked. I think that we need to understand. For instance, they may not appear to be directly related to the amendment, but there's several things. So one of the questions I think we need to ask is from our staff is what the rates that we're going to be able to obtain at Sea Alaska if we move there, how do they compare to current market rates? Are they at market rate, above market rate, below market rate? And if so, what is the difference?
I will ask Greg Cheney, our lands manager, to answer that because he did the negotiations.
Okay. To the best of my knowledge, these are approximately 20% below market rate.
There's a follow-up to that associated. Has anybody looked at the current space that HR is in the basement? Is that OSHA compatible? Is that OSHA compliant, I mean? Does it meet OSHA requirements for human safety and welfare?
As I understand, I'm not an expert on OSHA, but it is not currently in compliance with our contract. I was on the phone with the owner of the building today talking about rectifying that situation, but the ventilation does not comply with our contract. I can say that, so.
Mr. Wanamaker?
No, thank you. Again, I'll come back now to I think for those reasons, I've been there. I've worked in the HR department on various issues. I've worked in the law department on various issues with the staff over the years, and there's simply not enough space. But I also believe that the HR department needs to get out of the basement, and if they can move into the law department space. But that's not what we're deciding. What we're deciding is whether or not the law department should go over to Sea Alaska. Those rates are 20% below market rates, and that's and it's available now. I think we need to take advantage of this. We're adding staff to the law department, and we've taken on additional responsibilities that we have to fulfill, and we have to fulfill them well. The law department is just too crowded, and there's no place to work. We need to allow them to move to Sea Alaska and have the type of working space, clean, efficient working space that's available now that they need to do their jobs properly. So I will vote against the amendment. Thank you.
Thank you,
Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Wanamaker and I gave a little bit of leeway there, but we are voting on the amendment only the next time we vote. So everybody try to keep your comments now to that, the amendment itself. Please. Go ahead, Mr. Jones.
That was going to be my point, that this is an amendment about this particular expenditure. Nobody has proposed moving HR. Nobody has proposed reformatting any of the municipal way. What is before us is to get additional space for the attorneys. And I think at the present time, the most cost-effective way to do that is to simply remodel their existing space.
Thank you, Mr. Jones. Are there any other comments on the amendment? Mr. Keel?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I too speak in favor of the amendment, and it's a little bit difficult for me because I'm very much appreciate the work that the law department staff does and the constraints that they're under. I think the city has made a very good move in our additions to the law department. That we will all benefit. And there's no question that some additional desks have to be there, and it's got to be more than just a desk propped on the edge of a hallway. So the remodel is sorely needed. But I look at the cost estimates, even if they are below market, the ongoing expense estimates from the increased lease space, and I have a difficult time supporting adding that to the budget when a remodel can do the job. So I speak in favor of the amendment. I think it's a better use of the tax dollar. I certainly appreciate the staff and the work they do. They need a good space to do it, but we also need to accommodate that in the most fiscally efficient way.
Thank you, Mr. Keel. Any other comments? Mr. Nan Curtis.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd also like to speak in favor of the amendment, slightly different reasons than Mr. Keel. I am tight-fisted, and there's a $6,000 difference there. That's one of the reasons. The other is that I've been long a proponent of city staff being in one place and putting them across the street in a different building isn't the same place, and I hate to see this city continue to get fragmented like that. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Nan Curvis. Anybody else? All right, we'll vote on the amendment. Yes or no? Those in favor? There is an objection, so. Okay. Ms. City Clerk.
Mr. Jones?
Yes.
Mr. Keel?
Yes.
Mr. Nan Curvis?
Yes.
Ms. Troll?
No.
Mr. Wanamaker?
No.
Ms. Becker?
No.
Ms. Crane?
No.
Mayor Sanford?
No.
3A, 5 nay.
Thank you. So the amendment has failed, and we'll move on to the full ordinance. We have a motion before us to adopt ordinance serial number 2013-11X. Are there any further amendments or objections?
I still object.
Thank you. Madam Clerk, could you please take the roll?
Mr. Wanamaker?
Yes.
Ms. Becker?
Yes.
Ms. Crane?
Yes.
Mr. Jones?
No.
Mr. Keel?
No.
Mr. Nan Curvis?
No.
Ms. Troll?
Yes.
Mayor Sanford?
Yes. So ordinance serial number, oops, excuse me, I'm sorry, Madam Clerk, go ahead.
Okay.
I'm getting ahead of you.
You got it.
ordinance serial number 2013-11X passes. Madam Clerk, could you please read the title to, I guess we're going to be out of them, aren't we? We'll move on the agenda. That closes public ordinance for adoption. We move on to unfinished business. Madam Manager?
Nothing, thank you.
Thank you. New business, 1% for art. Mr. Keel, I think you have that one, don't you?
I do, Mr. Mayor. Would you prefer... no, the 1% for art award is actually not an appointment. We did those already.
Okay. Public Works.
Public Works. Mr. Wanamaker.
Well, I thought it was a human resource award, but I moved the adoption of the 1% for art award.
Are there any objections to that? Seeing none, so ordered. Thank you, Mr. Wanamaker. We'll get it out there somehow, won't we? Staff reports?
None, thank you.
Thank you. Assembly reports, mayor's reports. I just will make a brief comment on Alaska Municipal League. There was seven of us up there, plus many of the administrative staff in the different divisions, and we had a good showing and participated well. And Ms. Crane is our new president of the Alaska Municipal League, and that is one of our goals, to be more active in those two organizations, AML and Southeast Conference. And Mr. Jones and Ms. Crane have taken the lead on that and are doing an exceptional job. So thank you all for what you did up there, and thanks staff for all that they did up there in the different meetings. Participated well. Committee reports. We'll move down the road here, and Ms. Becker?
The committee as a whole met on November 18. We heard from Sue Douglas about the assisted living senior housing, and one of the items up for discussion is having a campus of 2 to 5 acres that would include senior housing, assisted living, a nonprofit center, to put a number of things together to help spread the wealth of the money. And I think they would like to have money for a needs assessment from the assembly, and they also would like to be under consideration for 2 to 5 acres of land. The second item that we discussed on that meeting was Ava Bornstein talked about, and Kevin Crawley talked about, the JDC reports. One was the visitor satisfaction survey that was given to people who have come here to visit the legislature or to different state departments, and they are now leaving Juneau. And so this is sort of an exit survey. And interesting enough, parking was still up there as a concern. And also, I don't know what we can do about that. We can't just build a garage, can we? I don't know. And then also concessions at the airport, and I believe that's being tended to. And the next one was the indicators, economic indicators, and I thought the good part of that was there's showing growth in not only Juneau, population growth not only in Juneau, but also in Southeast, and so that's very positive. The next committee of the whole meeting is December 9th. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Ms. Becker. Ms. Crane, Chairman of Finance.
Our next Finance Committee meeting will be on December the 18th.
Thank you. We'll move on down the road to Mr. Keel, Chairman of Human Resources.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. We'll get to one of those 1% for art items yet. In fact, why don't I start with it? The Human Resources Committee met today at noon and recommends the Assembly appoint two members to the 1% for art selection panel for Gastineau Elementary School. We recommend the appointment of Carol Bookless and Corey Wall.
You've heard the recommendation. Is there any objections? Seeing none, so ordered.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The committee discussed the annual report from the Douglas Advisory Board and recommends three appointments, reappointment of John Delgado and Mary Kay Pusich, and appointment of Adam Garner to terms expiring September 30th of 2016.
You've heard the recommendations. Are there any objections? So ordered.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The Historic Resources Advisory Committee proposed and brought to the HRC a change in its internal bylaws. Fewer and fewer of our advisory boards and committees have bylaws. The Historic Resource Advisory Committee is one of the holdouts. Contained in their bylaws used to be a two-term limit for their members. That's not something the Assembly ever imposed, and the committee moved to remove that from their bylaws so that, just like all our other advisory bodies, they would not have term limits. And the HRC approved that change in the bylaws of the Historic Resource Advisory Committee. We also recommended two appointments to that group: Zane Jones to a term ending June 30th of 2015, and Marcy Sowers to a term ending June 30th of 2016.
Thank you. Are there any objections to those recommendations? Hearing none, so ordered.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The Human Resources Committee recommends one appointment to the Juneau Commission on Sustainability, Lauren Hine, for a term expiring June 30th of 2014.
You've heard the recommendations. Are there any objections? Seeing none, so ordered.
The committee recommends for the Juneau Human Rights Commission, appointment of Caitlin Teaster to a term expiring May 31st of 2014.
You've heard the recommendation. Are there any objections? So ordered.
And to fill out the Social Services Advisory Board, which was short a few members, the Human Resources Committee recommends appointment of Adeline Voss and Caitlin Teaster to terms expiring September 30th of 2015, and Jenny Fremlin and Diana Wright to terms expiring September 30th of 2016.
Are there any objections to those recommendations? Hearing none, so ordered.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Finally, let me announce to those of you who have not yet heard, we have so many applicants for the Hospital Board and the Planning Commission that it would be unwieldy to interview them all in one night. So for your mixed ease, we've split it and we get to meet twice. On December the 5th at 5:30, I've scheduled the Assembly sitting as a Human Resources Committee of the Whole for 5:30 p.m. to talk about the Hospital Board and interview applicants. And one week later, on the 12th of December, also at 5:30, we'll interview Planning Commission applicants. I thought it'd be better than one marathon.
Yes, Mr. Smith.
You have just a little idea of how many applicants for each?
You know, it was 10 and 8, and I can't remember which was which.
Okay. I believe the 10 was Planning Commission.
Mr. Jones knows my business better than I do, as usual.
All right. Mr. Keel, when do we hear the Utility Board recommendations for increase or not to get their two new members for their committee? Do you know?
I don't have that scheduled yet, Mr. Mayor, but I will work with our clerk on getting that in front of the HRC.
And I think that's one of the boards where we've had trouble getting new people to be interested in that. So if you on the Assembly have any idea of people who wish to maybe work on that committee, please encourage them to do so. All right, we'll move on to Mr. Smith and Chair of Lands.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The next Lands Committee meeting is December the 9th. We've had about a three-month gap in our meeting schedule, and we expect that this agenda will be a full agenda on December 9th. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Smith. Mr. Wanamaker, Chair of Public Works and Facilities.
Thank you. The Public Works and Facilities Committee will meet again in December, but we don't have a date that it is firm, and we don't have an agenda yet, but we'll make sure it gets to you as quickly as possible.
Thank you, Mr. Wanamaker. We'll move to liaison reports. Mr. Jones, you want to start?
thank you, Mr. Mayor. Docks and Harbor. I may not be able to do that. I'll skip.
Mr. Nan Curvis.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The airport board met on November 13th, and they discussed several things. A concession agreement for Abby's Kitchen is currently being worked on. They are working on an RFP for the master plan at the airport. The Yandukan repaving project is nearly complete. There's two very minor things yet to get done. Both of them have to do with crosswalk curbing, I believe. And the runway rehab, they're still looking at funding options for making that happen next year, and I believe that has to happen within a year. So that's going to be a rush project, but it has to get done, so they're working on that. Regarding the Planning Commission, on their November 12th meeting, DOT had a presentation on the Egan Drive to 10th Street. Redo, remodel, reconstruction, whatever you want to call it, but the big plan there. That took up quite a bit of the November 12th meeting. UAS was here and discussed some of their projects, including their, it's not safe paths to school, but they are working on like path projects and also their housing project. Stater Harbor staff came in and gave a project update on Stater Harbor, and they are looking at an August to September-ish next year construction start on what I think is called Phase 2 out there at Stater Harbor. And the AUC-Bay Steering Committee was finalized. Who is on that committee? I don't know the names. Don't have those off the top of my head. But they were finalized, and the Planning Commission accepted the staff recommendation of who was going to be on the committee. I don't have that information of who those names were. Otherwise, I would tell you. And that's all I have for those two. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Nankervis. Ms. Troll?
I was attending the Alaska Municipal League, and so therefore was unable to make the meeting of the Juneau Commission of Sustainability. I do know that they are moving forward with their energy plan. It'll be going out to RFP, and there'll be several commission members involved in that review. But before leaving for a municipal league, I did have a chance to sit down with the executive director of the Alaska Coastal Rainforest Center. Because there, too, I was going to miss a meeting due to municipal league. And they've restructured their bylaws. They had in their initial formation, they had a very large steering committee because they needed a lot of public buy-in and to lend credibility. It was necessary. At this point in time, they're scaling down to a much smaller steering committee, which will be primarily, you know, the University of Alaska and affiliated research stations and people that are actually putting money into the program. I asked that we be kept informed of their development, so we no longer will have a seat at the board. So, which is kind of, so one of my board appointments is now, my liaison responsibilities has now gone away. I do intend to just, you know, stay abreast of what the developments are, and then have always asked that they in turn keep us informed of any interesting developments, or if they need a letter of support from us, they'll bring that to our attention. But we no longer have a formal role with the steering committee. And a lot of my conversation was based on making sure that the vision that Mayor Botello had when he was putting this together, is it all in place? Is it all going to continue? And I feel that those were answered satisfactorily to very much so, a definite yes.
Ms. Troll, I guess I have a question, and maybe for staff, but didn't we put some land into that, the beachfront, so we had from mountaintop to minus tide or out into the ocean even, to have all that in that whole system or not?
Not that I'm aware of.
Staff, do you know?
I don't remember that there was any CBJ property with it, but I'll look into it.
Okay, it would be just interesting, and I would encourage us to encourage them for us to stay involved with that because it's a very important part of the scientific community and the university system, and I think it's very important too. So it would be good for us. And I'll talk with the chancellor and what's his name out there on that too, and see if there's any way that we can keep on the board for sure. Anything else, Ms. Troll?
Well, they just did pass the new bylaw changes, and they do not include a seat for us.
Well, so, we'll talk to them. We can always change things around.
All right.
Ms. Troll, would you mind giving an update from your perspective on AML real quickly?
Well, certainly. I was able to attend the newly elected officials' sessions, and I found them informative. and insightful. And then in terms of the additional sessions that we were all able to attend, the ones that I found most valuable were the ones that were relating to some of the energy projects in the state, as well as the renewable energy program. There was also a very insightful session about the bond market and municipal bonds and what's looking forward to that. And I was glad to see our staff attending those. So I found it very productive from the education standpoint. And then there, of course, is the advantage of the networking. And as a newly elected official, it was very important to be there for that purpose.
All right. Thank you very much. Mr. Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The Convention and Visitors Bureau met on the 21st of this month. We set up a meeting, that meeting with Hal Hart with the Community Development Department and also Dennis Watson of the Planning Commission. And the focus of that meeting was to discuss how the visitor industry can have its input into the next comprehensive plan update. And the two areas that they spent the most time talking about was industry housing demand and how it might be better met, and the needs of the industry, the traveling public, also employees with regard to transportation. And that's my report.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Smith. We'll move on down to Ms. Crane.
At the last hospital board meeting, they had a considerable discussion about call issues, the physicians who respond to the hospital when there is a need, and there has been some concern among physicians about how this has been handled, and there have been discussions ongoing for quite a while. And at the last board meeting, I think they are beginning to make some progress on getting that issue solved. So that has been one area of discussion. I would like to remind everyone also, we've had a couple of presentations at the hospital board by the new staff from the new Southeast Radiation Oncology Center. And I think you've all gotten postcards in your packet. That center, there is a grand opening on December the 12th from 4 to 7 with a ribbon cutting ceremony at 4:15. Certainly this center will be offering services much needed by residents of Juneau.
Mm-hmm. And I open the invitation to, if anybody has any comments on AML, feel free to add any comments that you wish.
I moderated the session on FEMA mapping and found that Juneau has been selected to undergo another mapping program. And I had a bunch of questions. One, how is the old map going to intersect with the new map? And I'd really like to have a presentation from staff at some point about how this process is going to work, because we're about to spend a good deal of money on correcting those maps, and I want to be sure that those corrections will carry through to the new process. So it does sound like the new process will work better than the old one.
And who's doing the new mapping, us or FEMA?
FEMA.
To us.
But
to us.
they also did point out that there will be many more, much more communication between the borough and FEMA during this process, and many more points where the borough can interact with FEMA instead of just getting the maps at the end. But it's something that we're certainly, all of us here, are interested in, and I would just like a presentation from staff and know that it really is going to work the way they said it's going to work.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Green.
Thank you.
Mr. Keel?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'll resist the urge to ask whether our staff knew that we were going to undergo a new map and be collaborated with before we heard it tonight. The Affordable Housing Commission met shortly after our last assembly meeting. They continue to work on the loan program proposals in an effort to increase funding for building of accessory apartments and possibly for mobile homes. The goal is to forward those proposals to the Lands Committee for consideration and approval, hopefully forward have the Lands Committee recommend them to the Assembly when they are in good shape. The Affordable Housing Commission next meets on December the 3rd. The school district also met shortly after our last meeting, I should say the school board, where they received clean audits and financial reports. The auditors have changed the name of a clean audit. It used to be a no exception letter or something. But I believe we've all received copies of those financial statements in the past couple of weeks. I see some of us have them on the table here tonight, no doubt reading every line. The board also received a briefing from district staff on Thunder Mountain High School's difficulties with its broadband connection. Specifically, it's not very broad. And while they are working on some short-term fixes to make sure that the essential software on which the school runs continues to run throughout the year and have some pretty good lines on that, they are also looking down the road at the actual infrastructure of getting broadband to the school wall. The problem isn't particularly inside the school building, it's outside. And so we may see funding requests go forward from the school district either to the legislature or here to the assembly in the future. The board did not take action on those, but they received a report. They also had some discussion about making a proposal here to the assembly for some support with the services of the CBJ lobbyist. Many school districts around the state hire their own lobbyists at considerable expense that doesn't go to the classroom. To my knowledge, the Juneau School District has never done that, but they provided us a heads up that they might want to talk with us about engaging the services of the CBJ lobbyist. And so we look forward to seeing a proposal from them once it's fleshed out.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Keel. Anything on AML?
Thanks for the reminder. I too was able to attend AML, got a lot of value out of conversations with colleagues from local government around the state, a few faces that I've known for years and a lot of new folks worth meeting, a lot of good conversations about some of the opportunities and challenges that we all share. A particular conversation with a Fairbanks Borough Assembly member about our economic development plan that shed some good light and insights. I was able to watch the back of Mr. Steedle's head in a couple of presentations that we both attended. He sits further forward in the room than I do, and I can assure the manager that he didn't nod off once.
Thank you, Mr. Keel. Mr.
Wanamaker? Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I attended the last meeting of the Juneau Economic Development Council, and they updated their bylaws. They accepted the bylaws amendments that they had developed over a long period of time. They finally adopted them, and they are now working on the Innovation Summit, which will be early in the legislative session. It should be very interesting. I don't know all of the aspects of what they're planning to present. Again, they're working on it. And the Parks and Recreation Advisory Committee will meet in early December. The last report I gave is still the current report for them. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Wanamaker. Ms. Becker?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Last the committee met November 13th. Wayne Jensen gave us an update on the capital renovation, which is completed for this time of the year until the spring when it starts, the next section starts again. We also talked about legislative reception going along well. Thank you to the community. A lot of contributions have come in, so it's really, really looking very, very good. We talked about the constituent fair, the legislative guide that comes out has all the legislative names, and we'll be talking about our advertisement in that because we normally do advertise something for the last committee for Juneau, and airport concessions. The next meeting is December 11th. And the Chamber of Commerce, the annual meeting will be December 6th at the Centennial Hall. And it's always good food and a lot of fun. anybody wants to go, just their tickets available. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Becker. And just two things before I go back to presiding officers here. BRH, when I had a meeting with Kim and Ms. Mead this morning, we discussed having a meeting with BRH, and so we're going to try to set one up in early January. Felt that was important, just like all of you do, to make sure that we get that communications going again, especially with the another change of command out there. And then Mr. Dibdahl won the municipal assembly person of the year for the state of Alaska from AML. So we'll have to figure out a way to trick him in here to get him to get it. Otherwise, we'll have to probably go to his house and give it to him. But it's pretty nice and a good accommodation for him. So it was nice. Presiding officer report, Mr. Jones.
We had the hearing tonight. We'll talk about that after the session and also review the O'Brien decision that's been written up by the attorney.
Okay, thank you. And we don't have any other ones to report. Mr. Nankervis.
Nothing to report. Is that correct, Ms. Attorney?
That is correct.
Good.
Thank you. All right. Good job. We'll move on to assembly comments and questions. I'm going to skip you, Mr. Jones. Is that okay?
If I can do one.
Okay, try one.
Since we're going to talk about the HR department, can you add to that discussion how you might reconfigure the municipal way office space for that group as part of your discussion?
Yes.
Mr. Nankervis?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just a couple of things. Mr. Hal Hart is out in the audience, and I have received about 6 positive comments about Mr. Hart's performance. Well, I got them while I was gone, but I read them yesterday, and I had a few people also call and say that they really appreciate the job he's doing and the direction he seems to be going in. And secondly, I just want to wish everybody, all of you, staff, and the public, I hope everybody has a safe and happy holiday, Thanksgiving week. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Nankervis. Ms. Troll?
Happy Thanksgiving to everyone.
Mr. Smith?
Because you didn't ask, I had a couple just thoughts on the AML agenda. I found the agenda to be less than riveting. I would have liked to have seen more focus on what we can see coming down the pike on the capital budget, the operating budget, and obviously the governor's not ready to do that yet, but I was also looking for possibly a presentation from Scott Goldsmith on the revenue forecast, and I'm hoping that will happen maybe next year. Thank you.
Have you put those recommendations in to AML, do you know, Mr.?
I've talked to the manager about it.
Okay.
I think there's agreement. We need to do that.
Okay. I think if you talk to that lady right to your right, she has a lot to say about that this year. So
I just made 2 notes.
Ms. Crane, go ahead.
Nothing else this evening. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Crane. Mr. Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. one additional comment. Along with quite a few of you, I had the opportunity to attend the Filipino Community Inc.'s fundraiser Saturday night to benefit victims of the typhoon that recently devastated large parts of the Philippines. It was, first of all, an incredibly generous event by the Filipino community, which instead of having a Thanksgiving party for their members, had a giant fundraiser for the whole community. I didn't get a count on how many people came through, but I know that all of you who were there ladled a whole lot of food to a whole lot of folks, and it was good food. More importantly, though, I don't have an exact total for the night. My understanding is that it exceeded $21,000, which is impressive in and of itself. Is a tremendous benefit to folks who are suffering, and perhaps best of all, is almost twice what the comparable event in Anchorage raised.
Thank you, Mr. Keel. Mr. Wanamaker?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I, too, wish everyone a safe and happy Thanksgiving. The what I'd like to see from the staff is at our next regular assembly meeting is a cost estimate of what it would take to fund the whatever is necessary to allow the Oregon Police Department to prosecute the case. What I read in the newspaper is that they simply lack airfare. So I'd like to have a report to the assembly on what that cost is and what it would take to approve that funding on by the assembly. And I also would like to hear in executive session, if necessary, a report from the city attorney and the police department on their thoughts on the issue. So I request that.
Do you have that now?
I have that. Thank you.
And sure does everybody understand and support that request? Ms. Crane.
I do, but I also understood that in Oregon they have changed their mind and they are going to go ahead and prosecute the case because of generous donations from Juneau. Didn't say where they were coming from, but I understood they were going to go ahead with it. But I agree, if additional funds are needed, we should be looking at that.
Thank you. Mr. Wanamaker?
Yeah, thank you. I just wanted to, again, we need to, in order to make an informed decision as to what, if anything, we should do, we need the information. And I very much appreciate the fact that people may be contributing. I wasn't aware of it, but I'm thank gratified you. To hear it.
So do we have five that are okay with this? Raise your hands. Let me see. So there's more than five. Thank you. Good direction, Mr. Wanamaker. Thank you. Where are we at here? Assembly comments and questions, are we all done with those now? Okay.
You need Ms. Becker.
You just missed
you have nothing to say. You said no. Ms. Becker.
You're forgetting me again.
Ms. Becker, go ahead.
I couldn't get any closer. I don't want you to forget that you have a Southeast conference that we also are all involved in. So we are really busy as an assembly going to things that are good for our state and our Southeast neighbors too. And I mentioned that because tomorrow there will be an energy committee meeting that the mayor will chair, because that's a topic that we are discussing and studying, energy as it pertains to Southeast Alaska our communities. And first I'll say happy Thanksgiving, and then I will tell you that the tree lighting, you know, because you know what comes after Thanksgiving, will take place at the Pioneer Pavilion, which is in Sabico Park, on this Friday, November 29 at 6:30. It'll be kind of a fun event with hot chocolate and music, and it'll be fun to come over there at 6:30 and take part in that festivity. As it's a part of the Douglas Fire Douglas Committee that puts on the 4th of July events, raises money, and then tends to this event, putting up the street, among many other things that they do. That's one of the things. So
all right.
Come on and join them. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Becker.
Thank you for including me.
All right. We're up to the point of continuation of public participation on non-agenda items. Is there anyone from the public who wishes to tell us something? Seeing none, public comment is closed. And Ms. Becker, could we have a motion to move into executive session?
Yes, thank you, Ms. Mayor. I move that we recess to executive session to discuss the matter of financial implications to our government, and that is to hear two appeals. And I ask for unanimous consent.
Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Jones, go ahead.
Just a point of order. I don't think it's an executive session for finances. I think it's a quasi-judicial hearing on two appeals. I don't think it has anything to do with finances.
All right. All right. Are there any objections to moving into executive session to...
Yes.
Pardon me?
We should ask the public.
Not for the appeals.
Great.
Yeah. Okay. Anything else? Recess into executive session when we take a 5-minute break here to clear the room. I'll ask.